Teaching with our brother Jim Yates Jr. Wednesday the 2nd at 6 o'clock will be the children will hear. 7 o'clock we'll have a prayer service. Friday the 4th at 7 o'clock we will have a prayer service here in conjunction with the beginning of the conference and the solemn assembly. Then Saturday the 5th at 10 o'clock we'll also have a prayer service, and 7 o'clock that evening on Saturday will be a prayer service here. Sunday the 6th, 9:45 will be Sunday school. 11 o'clock that morning will be our sacrament service. 5:30 we'll have a song service. And 6 o'clock that evening, preaching with our brother Bill Malone. Under special announcements, it's asked ladies to mark their calendars for Saturday, April 26th, which will be a women's retreat for women ages 15 and up. Please plan on attending all day, and there will be more details announced later. This morning, we are going to begin our service with the use of hymn number 179, I Surrender All. And ask that you not just sing it, but you actually, as we sing, listen to the words and pay attention to them. 179, and if you'd stand as we sing, please. As much as you're able, will you kneel with me as I offer the opening prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, we do give thanks and do rejoice at the continuous outpouring of Thy goodness and blessings upon us, Father. As we once again assemble ourselves together before Thee this time, we do so giving thanks for the blessings of life, another day, this place of worship, and those of like faith and loved ones to gather together with. We give thanks for this land of liberty in which we can assemble unopposed as we do, and most of all, we give thanks for the sacrifice of Your Son on our behalf. As we would approach You at this time, we would do so asking and praying that You would look down upon us and have mercy and forgiveness in Your heart for our sins and our weaknesses and our transgressions, praying that You would even now pour Your Spirit out in abundance upon us, praying that You'd be with this service and bless each who's come to attend. Lifting up before You at this time our brother who will soon stand before us, praying that You would even now be pouring Your Spirit out upon him, helping him to have clarity of mind and thought and word, bringing to his remembrance those scriptures and the message that You have for him to deliver to us this day. Praying that You'd help us, that we'd put aside those cares and those concerns, and that we'd be able to focus wholly upon that You desire for us to receive this day. Pray that You would be with the upcoming conference and that You'd be with all those who will be traveling and watching over them, and that everything would go according to Your design and Your purpose. Pray that be with those names and those needs that we brought before Thee in the days and the weeks past, and that You bless them each as You would see fit. And so now, Father, at this time, we do trust this service and Your watch care, and we do ask and pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's continue this morning with the use of hymn number 267, Have You Counted the Cost? And again, as we sing, I'd ask that you pay a particular attention to the words that we're singing this morning. Number 267. If you'd again stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
I know that our brother has taken the time to prepare himself, to give thought for this time that we have here, from the songs that we've sung to the scriptures we'll hear to the thoughts that he's going to present to us this day. So I ask now that you also would give that same consideration and preparation to this time, that you'd set aside the care and the clutter of life and put those things aside, that we might be able to focus upon the meal that we're about to be fed this day and be able to partake of it fully and completely, from the opening appetizer to the final dessert, that we'd be richly fed this day. I give to you our brother, Priest Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Glenn. It is good to be here with you today and to see each one of you. I did call for these songs this morning. I hope you listen to the words. Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? That's the topic of my sermon today. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this song a little bit later. But you know, to lead up to this subject, I want to talk a little bit about fear. You know, we've been talking about the things of this world in our Sunday school class. And last week in Brian's sermon, he talked about fear. How that we need not fear the things that we see today. We need not fear the unrest in the world. We need not fear our enemies. The righteous need not fear any of these things. And you know, that's absolutely correct. I agree with that. But you know, sometimes it's not easy, is it? There may be some here in this room today who have fears of the things that are going on in this world. You know, if you had a small child out in the woods at night, and you know, his dad tells him, you know, there's nothing to fear. But then he hears a twig snap in the bushes. And you know, he may still not be afraid of nothing. But he may be afraid of what snapped that twig. He may be afraid of the unknown. Fear is something we need to work on in our lives. There's a great deal of unrest in the world today. But we must put our faith and our trust in God. God is telling us to put away these fears. That these fears of the world should not be part of us. Let's turn over to Matthew, chapter 24, verse 6. This is a verse that Brian read last week. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. These are Christ's words. This is prophecy. Wars and rumors of wars. We have wars right now, don't we? That we're part of. But what does our Lord tell us in this scripture? He says, see that ye be not troubled. We're not to be troubled over these things. Let's go over to verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He's telling us not to worry about these things. These are all things that must happen before the end of time. But he's telling us that we must endure to the end. And if we are living a righteous life, we have no need to fear these things. But we must remain righteous. That is the key. Because if we are not living a righteous life, we need to have a great deal of fear about these things. A great deal of fear about the things that are coming. And God's judgment is coming upon those that are unrighteous. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Again, he's telling us not to fear them which can kill the body, not to fear those things of the world. But he's telling us something we do need to fear, isn't he? Something that we need to fear, and that is God. We need to fear God and his judgment. We know that God is a loving God, and he loves each one of us. But his judgments are just. And as it says here, able to kill the soul, to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the power that God has. And that's what he will do to the unrighteous. So we do need to fear God, but not the things of this world. We must be aware of those consequences for not fearing God and for not serving him. We must be prepared spiritually for the future, for the things that are come upon this earth. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi, chapter 12. Verses 10 through 12. And this is on page 153. And there shall be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little. Take advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. This is the philosophy of many today in the world. But it's a false teaching that can only lead us to destruction. Verse 11, and do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Those that teach these things, their works are in the darkness. God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. What a false teaching this is. That's the doctrine of the world. Because God does not teach that. And some of the scriptures that we're going to read later on make this very plain and very clear that that is not Christ's doctrine. And that is not His will for our lives. His will is that we would be willing servants of Him. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. This is what the scriptures say about that type of lifestyle that we read about in the last one. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Those people that are living unrighteous lives today, they're not going to have part in the kingdom of God. No unclean person. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That is the charge that each one of us has, to walk as children in light. Children of light. And not walk in darkness. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We're to rebuke those things. We're to rebuke those works of darkness in our lives. And strive to always live a righteous life. And have that desire to serve God to the best of our ability. I want to look at this song we sang. Have you counted the cost? Page 267. You know, we must be aware of what it means to lose our soul. Of what those consequences are. In verse 1, there is a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted the cost? That's the way the world is today, isn't it? A pleasure-mad throng as they rush around. Verse 2, you may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and things it will win. Have you counted the cost? Verse 3, while the door of His mercy is open to you, ere the depth of His love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted the cost. Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed Have you counted the cost? You know, to gain the whole world and to lose our soul. To do that, we haven't counted the cost, have we? But that's what the world teaches today. Gain the world for your own. It says, even now it may be the line you have crossed. Have you counted the cost? We have to be careful of that line, don't we? Are some of us close to that line? I don't know. You know, a couple of years ago, when I went back to an April conference, there was a young man there who was a member of the church. And I had a talk with him. And he was on fire. He had a desire to serve the Lord. He could have been a great leader there in that youth group. He was excited. You could see it in his eyes, the joy and the excitement of what he could do. He was talking about what he could do with the young people, how he could serve his Lord. I went back to the August conference that same year. He was gone. Attending another church. We have to always be aware. Some may be at a crossroads in their life today. Some may be struggling. Sometimes we hear these things in testimonies. Some may have problems and weaknesses that we don't know about. Some may be in danger of falling away, of leaving this truth. I would have never believed that young man was in danger. I couldn't see it. Some may not completely understand the consequences of sin. You know, we all have sins in our lives. Things that we're trying to overcome and repent of. And we may not know each other's sins. Or what struggles or problems they're having. But you know, God does. God knows. You know, many people in America today are so blessed that they don't think they need God anymore. This is a big problem today. We have all the temporal blessings of the world. And you know, this sermon today is not to condemn us. It's not to condemn you. It's to warn you. I know that this is Christ's church. And I know that you are His people. But you know, we are only Christ's people if we remain righteous. If we continue to follow after Him. And you know, Christ needs to be the center of our lives. Our life has to revolve around Christ. It can't revolve around something else. It can't revolve around work or the pleasures of the world. It can't revolve around me or you. It's got to revolve around Christ. You know, the first song we sang, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Lord, I give myself to Thee. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Have we surrendered all? You know, our souls are in danger. If we haven't surrendered our life to Christ, if He's not the center of our life, we are in danger. Our life must revolve around Him. You know, these next few scriptures I'm going to read, they talk about the fate of the unrighteous. They make it very plain what the cost of losing our soul is. Even though the world today always wants to tell a different story. You know, I read I looked in the encyclopedia, looked up the word hell, and you know, some of the modern beliefs about it. You know, it's kind of like, well, yeah, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. And then there's some beliefs that, well, yeah, maybe there is, but, you know, everybody will eventually work their way out of it. And, you know, everybody's going to end up in heaven and, you know, everything's going to be okay. And that's the doctrine of man. There's no scriptural basis to that. That's man's doctrine. Because he wants to make it easy. You know, it's funny, people think that, you know, by saying this and this, that everything's going to be okay. But they don't realize that they're not in control. You know, they're not making the decisions. God's making the decisions. And He's going to make those judgments of how we live our life. So those people out there can talk about these things all they want and justify it in their mind. But you know, it's not going to do them any good. When it comes to judgment day, God is going to judge each one of us, each one of them, out of the things that are written here, about the things that He warned us about. Let's look at a few of these scriptures. Mosiah chapter 11, 196 to 199. This is on page 289. These scriptures are very plain. These next few scriptures, there's nothing in here that appeals to me. No, I'm sure that appeals to you. Verse 196. He will make Himself manifest unto all. Yea, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess before him. You know, in Romans 14:12, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Each one of us is going to give an account of ourselves to God. Every tongue shall confess. Verse 197. Yea, even at the last day, when all men shall stand to be judged of him, then shall they confess that he is God. They'll confess that he is God. There's atheists today that are strong in their belief. There's no God. When they get there, they will confess. They will confess their sins. Then shall they confess, who live without God in the world, that the judgment of an everlasting punishment is just upon them. And they shall quake and tremble and shrink beneath the glance of an all-searching eye. What a terrible thing that would be, wouldn't it? You know, at that point, all of mankind will have counted the cost if their soul should be lost. They will know the cost. It will be crystal clear to them. But unfortunately, it'll be too late. It will be too late. And this everlasting punishment is just upon them. They will know they got just what they deserved. What a terrible feeling that would be. Let's turn back to Mosiah chapter 8, verses 70 to 75. This is on page 254. And now it came to pass that after Abinadi had spoken these words, he stretched forth his hand and said, the time shall come when all shall see the salvation of the Lord, when every nation, kindred, tongue, and people shall see eye to eye and shall confess before God that his judgments are just. And then shall the wicked be cast out, and they shall have cause to howl and weep and wail and gnash their teeth. And this because they would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore the Lord redeemeth them not, for they are carnal and devilish, and the devil hath power over them. The devil has stolen their souls, hasn't he? They have been cast out. Yea, even that old serpent that did beguile our first parents, which was the cause of their fall, which was the cause of all mankind becoming carnal, sensual, devilish, knowing evil from good, subjecting themselves to the devil. All this because they did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. That's why we're here today. We have that opportunity to hearken to the Scriptures, to the words that our Lord has gave us, so that we will not fall into these things. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 9, verses 19 to 27. This is on page 344. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion of the word, until they know nothing concerning his mysteries. And when they are taken captive by the devil and led by his will down to destruction. Now this is what is meant by the chains of hell. And Amulek, hath spoken plainly concerning death and being raised from this mortality to a state of immortality and being brought before the bar of God to be judged according to our works. Then if our hearts have been hardened, yea, if we have hardened our hearts against the word, insomuch that it hath not been found in us, then will our state be awful, for then we shall be condemned. For our words will condemn us, yea, all our works will condemn us. We shall not be found spotless, yea, our thoughts will also condemn us. And in this awful state, we shall not dare look up to our God. So we see the things that are going to condemn us, don't we? It's our actions in this life. It's our thoughts, our deeds, our works. That will condemn us. And it says, we shall not dare look up to our God. We won't be able to look at Him, will we? Verse 25, and we would fain be glad if we could command the rocks and the mountains to fall upon us, to hide us from His presence. We won't want to be in God's presence, to know that we lived an unrighteous life and we're unclean. It will be more than we can bear. You know, I can remember when I was a little kid, I did something wrong, and my dad was coming home. It was not a very good feeling. It was a very uncomfortable feeling. You know, I was afraid because I was going to be in trouble. But can you imagine how much greater this fear and dread would be? To know that we'd win against God's will. Verse 26. But this cannot be. We must come forth and stand before Him in His glory and in His power and in His might, majesty and dominion, and acknowledge to our everlasting shame that all His judgments are just, that He is just in all His works, and that He is merciful unto the children of men, that He hath all power to save every man that believeth on His name, and bringeth forth fruit meet for repentance. How terrible that would be to stand before Him and know that we had lived an unrighteous life, and to know that He was a good God and that He was merciful to those that were righteous and just, and that we had wasted our time here on earth. We had wasted our time and not followed after Him. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the fate of the unrighteous. They will dwell with Satan for eternity, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That sounds like constant torment, doesn't it? Torment that'll never end. That doesn't sound very good, does it? We know that we don't want that. But we also know that there's requirements, that we must live a righteous life. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We must make sure that our name is written in that book of life. That we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know, Glenn had a good sermon last week about that. About how we have to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That He died for our sins, and He was resurrected again. You know, that's such a simple message, but every day the world is trying to dilute that and bring Christ down to a mere man, a mere mortal. You know, probably most of the world believes in Christ. Historically, He's in historical books. Islam believes in Christ. They believe He was a prophet. But they don't believe that He is the very Son of God. That He is our Savior. That He is the only way to our salvation. That is what we must believe. That is what is required of us. To have our name written in the book of life. And we must be baptized into His church. The scriptures that tell us that. That we must be baptized to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. What a terrible punishment that is. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That means that those people will never be in the presence of God. They will not feel His Spirit. They will have no part of His Spirit. Ever again. What a terrible thing that would be. These scriptures don't paint a very rosy picture, do they? All of doom and destruction. But this is what the Lord says about these things. No matter what man says, this is what God says. These are the promises for the unrighteous. Not much of a promise, is it? Nothing that we want part of. Let's look at Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 37. And these are Christ's words. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall be saved. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What do we have that we'd exchange for our soul? Do we have any earthly possessions? Nothing measures up, does it? Nothing even comes close. But you know, today in this world, every day, people are selling their souls for the treasures of this world. Every day. We want to make sure that we're not one of them. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. We're to flee the things of this world, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That is our charge. That is what we're to do to obtain salvation with our Lord and Savior. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're to fight the good fight. Every day in our lives, we need to be fighting against the temptations of Satan, against the sins of this world. And it says, if we do that, we will lay hold on eternal life. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. What a simple little verse that says so much. Or to obey His voice. And it says, He will be your God. He will be our God. He is the only one that can give us eternal life with Him. He will make that judgment upon us by the way that we have lived our lives. And it says, if we do this, that we shall be His people. Isn't that what we want? To be God's people. In all aspects of our life. And if we're God's people, our life will be revolving around Him, won't it? It won't be revolving around something else. It'll be revolving around Him. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. read right up to this scripture a few minutes ago. It talked earlier about those who were cast into the lake of fire. And now it tells of the promises of those that are righteous. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And we know that this is talking about the end times, the very end times, after the millennium, and after Satan has been loose for a season, and after he has been bound and cast into hell for eternity. This is what awaits those that were righteous in this life and those that serve God all the days of their life. This new heaven and new earth. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What a wonderful thing that is. Can we even imagine such a thing? To be dwelling with God, just like we are here today. To be dwelling with him and to have him in our midst forever and ever. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Those are gone forever for the righteous. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What a beautiful promise that is for the righteous. We see a huge contrast, don't we, between these two places. The contrast of darkness against the light. There's no doubt where each one of us wants to spend eternity, is there? There's no doubt where we want to go. To spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. But we're going to have to be strong. We're going to have to be faithful. As we see these things come upon the world. And not be fearful of these things. For God has promised to bless those that will serve Him. He has promised to do that. Let's look at Matthew 25, 21. His Lord saith unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. Those are the words we're looking to hear, aren't they? That's the words we're looking for when we stand at judgment seat. We don't want to be like those. They're trying to hide from God. and praying that the mountains will fall upon them. We want to stand before Him knowing that we did our best. That we did our best to serve Him. You know, we don't need to fear those things that are coming upon the world. But we do need to fear our God. The Scriptures plainly tell us that. That we're not to fear those things coming upon the world. But we are to fear our God and His judgment. And if we fear our God, we will live a righteous life. You know, we need to fight the good fight. We need to listen to the voice of our Lord. We need to overcome the temptations of this world. And if we remain righteous and endure to the end, you know, someday we will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord." You know, as we close today, the closing song is going to be number 316. It says, "God will take care of you." That's the title of that song. Listen closely to those words. Because if we are following after Him, He surely will take care of us. Thank you for your time.